We just want to encourage you, if you've missed anything up to now, we have all of that on our website for you to go back and check out. If you don't have the internet and you still live in the Stone Ages, we can burn you a CD and you can listen to them that way.
That would be John Walker.
We got you covered, baby. Oh, he's not in here, is he?
He's in the
foyer. He's still selling. Yeah, they're having a bake sale out there. They're raising money to buy presents for kids. Is that what it was? Or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I saw the sign, but I didn't retain it, I guess. What was I talking about? Guardrails. Protecting what is most important in your life. Our key verse that we're using is Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life. And our heart is so very important because it is the essence of who we are. It is what everything stems out of in our lives. And we have to learn to build guardrails in our hearts, or protections in our heart, to protect the things that are most important to us. And so far we've talked about protecting our relationship with God. God needs to be number one in our lives. And we talked about what that looks like. And how is it that we keep God number one? Because it's easy to say that God is number one, but do we truly live that out? Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How easy is it to say that we're Christian, but not live it out? Are our lives producing the Christian life? Is there any fruit? Is there any evidence of it? Next, we talked about protecting our marriage. And we said that the top two relationships in our lives are our relationship with God and our relationship with spouse. If you ever put your spouse above God, things are going to be really messed up in your marriage and your life. You've always got to put God number one. If you ever put anything above God, everything else falls apart. God has to be number one. And so we talked about putting God number one in our marriage. And that is, if God is not in your marriage, then your marriage is going to fall apart. God has to be number one in your marriage above your spouse. And today we're going to be talking about putting God number one in your home. With your kids. What does it look like to build guardrails in the lives of your kids? And one of the most important things to me as a father are my kids. Now, most of the time we think, the mother, she takes care of the kids. But for me as a father, it is vital that I put kids as a priority in my life. It's not just my wife's job to raise the kids, but it's my job too. It's my job as the spiritual leader of my house to protect and to guide. And so we're going to be talking today about guardrails in our kids' lives. See, our kids are growing up in a world that was different than what we grew up in. See, when I was a kid, I got to ride my bike down the street. And we used to ride our bikes everywhere, and we'd be gone for hours and hours. And as long as we came home for lunch, everything was good. Of course, I wasn't going to miss lunch, that's important. And so, it wasn't any worries about, us just being out and playing and having a big time. Your kids live in a completely different world than what we grew up in. And so we cannot treat our kids like we were when we were younger. There's bullying in school now. And when I first heard this bullying thing come up, I thought, man, there's always been bullies. That's just weak stuff. They just pick on you and steal your lunch money and beat you up every once in a while. No big deal. But see, it's not like that now. It's much worse than that. Because they're not just attacking them physically, but they're attacking them emotionally. And they're not just taking their lunch money, but they're taking their self-confidence. They're taking their pride. They're making them feel worthless. And because of this, suicide rates have gone out the roof. And our kids are facing things that we didn't have to face as we grew up. And so we need to be purposeful and what our kids are exposed to, who our kids are exposed to. We need to be proactive in their lives and building protections for them, because they're not at a place in their lives to where they can think things through like we can. Their minds have not fully developed yet, and so we have to be proactive in their lives in building these guardrails in their lives. And so that's what we're going to be talking today about, building guardrails in our kids' lives.
Good morning. How are you? Good. I was sitting on the front row a while ago and just thinking, I love this church. I was thinking about y'all and thinking about just, gosh, I love you guys so much. You're such a blessing, and God is doing such amazing things in many of our lives. And I want you to know that today, that I love you and that you're important to what we do. I want to say before I get into my part, and we got to be fast today, is that I'm going to be here for every night of the play. I'm going to be a greeter, and I need some help with doing that. So if you can help be a greeter, see me. And also we need some folks to something else. Oh, nursery. We need a couple of volunteers to help with the nursery. You just have to do it one night if we get enough volunteers. We're just going to do babies. We're not going to have a nursery for, you know, a whole deal like we do on Sunday. So if you can help with that, that would be much appreciated. I remember a story, and this is real, and this person was not raised in our church. So, you know, when you tell a story, sometimes you're concerned about people trying to make connections and figure out who you're talking about. But this person was raised in church, but it was not our church. And I remember as he was a young boy. Yeah. As he was a young boy, he had a grandfather that just taught him all about the Bible. He taught him all the Bible stories. He knew Bible facts. You could ask this kid just about anything, and he could answer it. He was just really, really smart. He grew up to be a very confused young man. A young man that was in search of, he had some spiritual knowledge on the inside of him, but there was something missing in his life that he did not get that he needed. And you know, if you knew this family, they were very dysfunctional. And you know, sometimes we think if we teach our kids the Bible, they will be okay. And I believe in teaching the Bible. What we're doing right now is teaching the Bible. What they're doing in there is teaching the Bible. What you need to be teaching your kids is the Bible. But don't think just because they can know the Bible stories and they know what to pray and how to do that they're going to be okay. Because there's more to it than that. See, each day of our lives, we're making deposits in the memory banks of our children. And it's not so much what we say to them, it's what we model to them that's so important. And I think about this family that they were Christians, but it was obvious that they were very troubled. They did not, although they said the right things, they did not model the right things. I would say, now this, you understand, I'm making a judgment now. I'm not trying to judge that person. But I would say probably with interaction and seeing that probably God was not first in his life. If God was first in his life, he wouldn't have caused much trouble in churches that he caused. I don't think God was first in his marriage. I don't think that he really respected his spouse the way that he should. Don't really think that he modeled that. So you can teach kids Bible stories and you can do all of those kind of things. But listen, if it's not modeled, It creates confusion. And what we're talking about here in guardrails is about putting the proper guardrails in place so that we can have strong families. And we've got some strong families in this church. We have got some young men in our church that I wish that I had been half the dad that they are. They are tremendous fathers and tremendous family men. And I love seeing that. And I love seeing how that goes in their family. And we got some mamas in this church are great mothers. I'm telling you, they're just good. And we got some young families that are, man, they're walking it out. They're not perfect, but they're walking it out. And there's one thing about it. We're not going to be perfect, but we need to walk it out. And what we've been teaching the last few weeks is we're building something. And each part of this builds upon the last part. Because it doesn't matter how big my family is. If I don't get the me and God part right, my family life is not going to be right. First of all, my marriage is not going to be right. I'll become very selfish. I'll become, you know, something else. And that's why I say to you singles, it's so important before you get married that's one issue that above every other issue is the God issue. You know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm dating this guy and he's a Christian. Well, the next thing you know, you hear, you know, he's being arrested for something. And I'm thinking, whoa, I don't believe he was marriage material. He beat somebody up, or he threatened somebody, or he did this or did that. And I'm thinking, whoa, just because somebody says they're a Christian does not make them a Christian. And even if they are a Christian, it doesn't, you know, just being a Christian is not enough. It's really not enough. There has to be a compatibility between two people for it to be right. And don't think that you're going to marry them and straighten them out. Nah. That's not how it works. You've got to try to do it the right way. It's important, first of all, that anybody that you date, that God is first in their life. If God is not first in their life, you won't have a marriage in which God is first. Don't think that you will, because you won't. The second thing is put God first in your marriage. And today we're talking about families, but it starts with this. And here's the point. Put God first in your life. That's each spouse. Each person. And then you put God first in your marriage. Because, listen, if your marriage is not right, if God's not first in your marriage, your home life is not going to be what it's supposed to be. The things that you're depositing in the memory banks of your children will be confusing. If you say one thing and do something different, it will be confusing to them. See, I think... Now, I shouldn't say this as a preacher, because I believe in preaching the Bible. But I believe that it's more important that we model the Bible than it is that we teach it. I think one of the greatest teaching tools in teaching the Bible is walking it out. They need to see the example. Children need to see their fathers honoring God. Children need to see their mothers honoring God. Children need to see their parents loving and respecting one another. And if they don't see that, you can call your home Christian, and it may be Christian, but it's not a God-honoring home, and it's not going to produce the thing that we need for it to produce. Listen, we are under attack. Families are under attack. And a lot of it has to do is because we haven't built the proper foundation. When you build a house, you don't start with the roof. You start with pouring the footings. You dig holes and you put concrete in the ground. And that is your relationship with God. Then you lay the blocks. Then you lay the subfloor and the floor. And then you start putting up the walls and the support system. And then you put the trusses on. See, I could build a house, couldn't I? Then you put the, you know, you put the roof on, and then, you know, you go from that angle. You don't start somewhere else. You got to start with the proper foundation for that to be able to withstand the storms of life. And listen, life is full of storms. Marriages will have storms in them. And unless the foundation is good, it's going to be very difficult for it to stand. Satan would love to have your children. And that's why it's so important that we build the proper foundation that starts with me and then my spouse. And then we do it God's way and we build our marriage right. And that's the only way that God can be number one in our home. And that's the third thing that we need to talk about. Now, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says this. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. And I'm not just talking about what you teach them, and it's important that you teach them, but it's also important that you teach them through modeling. You model what you're talking about. You demonstrate it, because each day, say each day of our lives, we are making deposits in the memory banks of our children. They will know things that they don't know why they know what they know. But you know what they're going to know? They're going to know what they consistently have seen you do, good or bad, in your life. So that's important, that we need to make sure that this foundation is built right if our children are going to have a chance. Now, I got to quickly give you some things here. Create an environment in your home of love and peace. What happens in a church where there's no love and there's no peace? I've been in churches, and this one has had it way in the past, where there was just an undercurrent of strife. And you know what it does to a church body? It just rips it up. It's a wonder we survived in the early days. And there was such an undercurrent of strife. And I had rather be in a place where there's love and peace. And that's what a home needs to be like. You know what? And it takes work to do that. It takes us doing it God's way for that to happen. Your home needs to be filled with love and peace. Now, there's a couple of practical things. All of this is practical, because I think the Bible's practical. But here's something, and we're talking about guardrails. Is love a guardrail? Eh? Is peace a guardrail? Did you know the peace of God will guard your heart? The peace of God can become the umpire in your heart when it comes to knowing what you need to do. Sometimes it's the peace of God. But if you're in a place that you don't have the peace of God, you know, there's confusion. There's all those kind of things. But listen to this. Especially you, well, I said especially. It doesn't matter what their age. Pick what your children are exposed to. Pick what your children are exposed to. Give us a little insight into that. You do youth stuff.
You just turn on the TV these days and, oh my gosh. I mean, it's just awful. Just the commercials. I mean, it doesn't matter what channel you're on. It's crazy what media is throwing at our kids. And unfortunately, lots of times we use the TV as a babysitter. And, you know, I'm guilty of it. You know, I need to, you know, go take a shower. I need to go take a bath. And I throw on a movie for Ella, you know, so I can have time to go do that. And it's so easy just to turn on the TV and let them, you know, watch. But, you know, you can watch even the kids' shows now, and you see things in them that, you know, are not biblical, you know, are not biblical at all. You know, some things that they are promoting. One thing that I've found out that is that, you know, if someone wants to introduce an idea into society that's not accepted at the time, it's easily introduced through a comedy. And one of the things I think of, you know, when I was in high school and college, you know, Friends and Seinfeld were big. And I go back and watch those now and I think, oh my goodness. You know, I see the undercurrents of homosexuality being introduced into society. Because when I was growing up, you know, if someone came out and said they were gay, it was like the death sentence to them in high school. You know, they get beat up every day, but it was beginning to be introduced through comedies, through TV shows, through movies. And, you know, a lot of that is socially acceptable now. And it's introduced through media. And so we have to be very careful, even with the music. Let me say, especially with the music that we listen to. Because I believe God created music. He created it for a reason. There's something about a song that we can hear. There's songs that you can sing that you haven't heard in 30 years. It'll come on the radio, baby, and you just start singing the lyrics. You're right there with it. And there's something about a song that deposits things in our hearts that we never forget. And I believe that's on purpose, designed by God that way, so that when we worship Him, I love worship songs that sing the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the Psalms and things that we can sing because it's depositing the Word of God in our hearts. But it works the opposite way as well. You know, if we're listening to songs about going clubbing and drinking and having sex outside of marriage and all these things, that's being deposited in our hearts. It's being deposited in our kids' hearts. And so we have to be careful what our kids are exposed to. You know, when they're in school, they're going to be exposed to things. It's just going to happen. As they grow up, they have friends. They're going to be exposed to things. But you have control of that for a long time and what they are exposed to. And hopefully you're teaching them as you go along what's proper and what's not proper in media and in music. And then from that, maybe they can begin to make decisions on their own when they get into the teenager years, when there are those peer pressures hitting them, when there's people say, hey, look at this. Or, you know, listen to this song. And I don't think so. You know, I don't like what that song's talking about. And so, you know, we do need to be careful what our children are exposed to.
Children do not have mature minds. Teenagers do not have mature minds. This is why you need to be in their business. Be in their business. They don't like it, but you better be in their business. Let me just make a couple suggestions here. If you do not have an internet filter on your internet at home, you need to get one. You can get one that if somebody goes to a bad website, it'll send you an email and will tell you that. You need to even have that on your, if your kid's got a phone that has that kind of stuff, internet on it, put a filter on there. Put a family guard filter on there. You say, well, my child would never do that. You know what's big right now? Young ladies taking pictures of themselves naked and texting. They call that sexting?
Sexting.
Sexting. That's pretty big right now. And there was a mama here not long ago that got a pretty big shock when somebody told her that her daughter was doing that. My daughter would never do that. And she got to looking on her phone, her friend's phone, and there it was. Listen, kids are being introduced to pornography at 6, 7, 8 years of age right now. We have got to be careful as Christian parents to monitor what our kids are exposed to. Now, the next point is this. Pick and choose who your children are exposed to. I know you can't 100%, but listen, you need to know who they're hanging with. Like I say, you have got to be nosy. My dad told me when I was a kid, he says, boy, I know you're going out and tell me where you're going. And just know this, I may show up. So if I show up, you better be there. And he has shown up. And he was always in my business. And parents, that is your job. Can I say this? Somebody needs to hear this. Your children are not to be your best friends. You are a parent. Now, When you get my age, your kids can be your friends. But when their brains are like they are when they're teenagers, till they get married, they need parental oversight in their lives. Wow, you're just an old fogey. Well, I may be. But I know human nature. I know young guys. I know what it's like to be exposed to pornography and have to deal with that. Listen, our kids are being exposed to that, and we need to set guardrails and know who their friends are and what they're being exposed to and where they're going. And you need to check up on them. Well, I think we just need to trust. Yeah, we do need to trust, but sometimes trust is earned. Okay. Allow your children to grow in peer relationships. Children need interaction with other children, but especially in a... This is why coming to church is such a good thing, because when they go into these little classrooms and they're in children's church, they can start learning how to interact with other kids their age. I've seen kids that just hang out with older people. We guard them so much, and you know, it's like... Sound like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm really not. We need to guard them, but we need to have an atmosphere that they can grow in peer relationships. That's so important that they do that. That's part of their maturity. They need to learn how to be a friend and to have friends and to interact and to deal with conflict with each other in a way. And that's what's so neat about a youth group and children's church and those kind of things. Here's the last thing I want to talk about, and we're almost out of time. Create family memories. This is big. Look at me. This is big. Kids will not remember what you bought them for Christmas. They will not remember what they got for their birthdays. They will not remember all of that stuff that we go in debt to do and we overdo. Kids will not remember that very long. But they will remember things that you do with them. They don't need your stuff as much as they need you. And this is one of the things. My mama, bless her heart, she made, she planted something in me that I believe in. She probably, I don't know if she realized it or not, that it was a spiritual value, but she made occasions, she made holidays fun. She made holidays special. And I remember, there's a lot of things I don't remember about my childhood. There's a lot of things we forget most of the stuff in our childhood, but there are points in our childhood that we can all go back to where somebody treated us special, or they made something special, or they did something special, or we did something as a family. And that is so important. Joe, talk about that. You were raised in that environment.
Yes. We always loved holidays. I think Thanksgiving was kind of the family favorite. We went over to Nanny's house and apple crumb pie.
Ooh,
every year. Apple crumb pie, let me tell you. And we had other food there too, but... we would go over there and we would eat and we'd go play football or basketball. Then we'd go eat some more and go do something else and eat some more. And I would have a big time. And, and holidays were always a big deal. As I was getting married, I told my wife, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And she's like, how's Christmas not your favorite holiday? It's like, well, food, it's just... But now that I look back on it, it was the family getting together. And I mean, we did Christmas too, and we got gifts and stuff. But I think it was the thing where it was just family. It was just about hanging out and enjoying each other. And that made Thanksgiving so special to us. And one thing I remember growing up, we always did a family vacation. we have lots of memories on that. We don't want to go there, though. Lots of stories.
We had a singing group called the Pickleheads.
We were good too.
Yeah, it was Davey, Kevin, and Joe, the Pickleheads, and they sang in harmony.
That was my job, was the harmony.
Yeah. But they remember that. Why? See, here's the whole thing. If we do family right, they come back to it. You think about all of the people that their family experience was negative and they want to get away from it. You got to create something that they want to come back to. And see, and what we're doing is we're building something that is perpetual and it grows and it's important. You know, and one of the other things is that if it's all possible, include your extended family in your experience. I do not remember my grandfathers. I have a vague, one of them died before I was born, and I have a vague memory of the other one. So I had a great grandfather, but I didn't spend much time around him. So I felt like I was robbed of that experience. And I determined that I was going to be a very active grandfather. And my wife is probably the most wonderful grandmother I know anywhere on the earth. She loves those grandkids. And I love them too. And, you know, my life exists around just two things other than my relationship with God. And that's this church and my family. Everything that we plan around family and our church family. And that's it. That's our priorities. So if you can extend, you know, your local family, if somehow you can get the extended family involved in it, I guarantee you when the Walkers get together, they have a blast. John and Liz kind of have the same idea that Kathy and I do about family, that it's important that we do big things together as family. Now, Joe and Miranda need to have their traditions that they're starting. But we can open the door where aunts and uncles and all of those kind of things. See, we were fortunate here that my brother and sister and myself, we all raised our kids in the same town. And, you know, when Chris had a birthday, we all went to, Becky put on a big party and we went out and we had a big time. And you know, they like to go to Aunt B's parties because, you know, they were always good parties and they played games. And let me tell you something that happened with these kids. They're not cousins. They are cousins, but they're brothers and sisters. They love each other like brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something. When the trials of life come, you've got something to draw on. You've got something to think about. You've got something that pulls on your heart. And it's those memories of things that you have done as a family. And, you know, and even if it means that I don't want to make a choice where I'm going to disappoint my family, that's big. That's a guardrail in these kids' minds that will help them through the difficult times in life. So each day of your lives, we are making deposits in the memory banks of our children. So let's do that. I want to sow a seed today. This is for the families in our church that have children at home. There's a book here called Praying Circles Around Your Children. It's important that you pray for your children. And I've got about 30 copies of this book. And if you will see me after service, if you have children in your home, I want to give you a copy of this book. And if we run out, we'll order some more, have them here next week, and we'll have plenty of these. I don't care if we have to buy 1,000 of them. We want to get them in the hands of people where it tells you about certain things that you need to start praying around your children, praying circles around your children, praying hedges of protection around your children. Joe, why don't you close this today with prayer and dismiss us.
All right. Father, thank you so much. God, that for those who have been blessed with families, God, I just thank you for my family. God, and everything that was deposited in me from my grandparents to my parents and that I can pass on to my kids. God, I just pray that you just help us to be very purposeful with our children. Not just allow life to happen, God, not just to get so wrapped up in work or wrapped up in whatever that we're doing that they're just second class or they're a second thought to us. God, help us to make it priority God, to invest in our children, to instill your values, and most of all, live out those values in front of our children. God, I pray for those who are in the process of having kids, or they have plans for kids. God, I just pray that you're just depositing these things in them now. So when the kids come, God, that they don't have to have the learning curve that a lot of us had to deal with. God, I just thank you that you have family as a priority, God, and I just pray that's a priority in our lives as well. God, thank you as we go from here today, God, that you're leading, guiding, and protecting. God, help us to be light in this world for you. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. You're dismissed.